holding steady or slowly falling. It will be breezy with the wind out of the southwest at 15 to 20 miles per hour with gusts to 30. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers early. We'll see a low of 33. The wind from the west at 15 to 20 miles per hour with evening gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, the high 52 with the wind from the south at 15 to 20 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy and breezy with a low in the upper 30s. The wind out of the southwest from 20 to 25 miles per hour. New Year's Day, partly sunny, windy, and colder with a high around 40. The wind will be from the west at 20 to 25 miles per hour with gusts to 40 miles per hour. Sunday night and Monday, mostly cloudy with a low Sunday night in the low 20s, the high Monday in the upper 20s. Monday night, mostly clear and cold with a low around 15. And the outlook for Tuesday, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 20s. At noon Central Time, temperatures across Illinois and Indiana ranged from the low 40s to the upper 50s, most locations reporting rain. But in Carbondale, where it was mostly sunny, it was 58 degrees. Rockford reported 40 degrees at the top of the hour. It was 43 at Chicago's O'Hare Airport and in Bloomington. In Mattoon, 45. South Bend, 42. Lafayette, 49. In Indianapolis, 48 degrees. Terre Haute reported 50 degrees. Willard Airport reported light rain and fog at the top of the hour. The temperature 46 degrees, the dew point 44, the relative humidity 93%. The wind out of the southwest at 18 with gusts to 26, the barometric pressure 29.48 and falling. And at 12:39, 44 degrees in Urbana on the campus of the University of Illinois, the sky is cloudy. This is the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Celeste Quinn. Glad you could be with us this afternoon. When Republican Congressman Tim Johnson of Urbana runs for re-election next year, he'll have to do something he hasn't done in more than a decade: square off in a Republican primary. As Illinois Public Media's Sean Powers reports, two other Republicans in the St. Louis Metro East area are eyeing the newly redrawn 13th congressional district seat.
The last time Johnson had any challengers in the primary was back in 2000, the year he was first elected to the U.S. House of Representatives. He was up against State Representative Bill Brady, who later went on to the Illinois Senate and won the GOP nomination for governor in 2010, Sam Ewing, son of former Congressman Tom Ewing, and Jeffrey Jones, a dentist in the Bloomington Normal area. Johnson walked away with 44% of the vote. Here he is in March of 2000, shortly after his primary win.
It's like the semifinals of the Final Four. You know, before you get to the championship game, you got to win the semifinal, and you work on your perimeter game. And so, obviously, it's a tremendous significance, and it makes you a better candidate. And these three individuals made me a better candidate, and I thank them for that.
Now there's a different group of players in the upcoming primary match who have never held political office and who live in the Metro East area. That's because the new 13th Congressional District, covering much of the old 15th District, now stretches to the southern part of the state. Veterinarian Michael Fershing of Morrow is one of Johnson's two Republican challengers. He ran against Republican Congressman John Shimkus of Collinsville in 2010 and lost in the primary by a wide margin, securing only 15% of the vote. Now he's running against a different incumbent, but Fershing says his reasons for wanting to go to Washington haven't changed.
I really was expecting in the last 2 years we would have seen the huge collapse of the economic situation worldwide, but it's been held off a little bit longer. I just have a hard time believing we can go another 2 years without the bubble that isn't going to pop and cause a lot of havoc to everybody's life.
Fershing says he favors a flat income tax, disbanding the Federal Reserve, and limiting military engagements to those authorized by a formal declaration of war by Congress. He also says he would cut spending on programs that the government can't afford to run and move all agricultural programs to the states.
If you have disseminated powers, then you have more local control of it, plus you have more states doing the various programs. But if you just have government running everything, then when they screw up and do the wrong thing, then it's a lot harder to control.
Fershing says he thinks the 13th Congressional District's rural constituency will relate more to his ideas and support him in the primary. But he isn't the only GOP newcomer in the race. Meet 70-year-old Frank Metzger, a retired iron worker from Glen Carbon who now runs his own tree-cutting business.
Retirement's not in the Bible. I'll just work until I drop dead someday.
Metzger hasn't run for political office before, and he admits that he doesn't have much name recognition in the state. But he says politics is in his blood. His father was a New Jersey legislator who also ran for governor. Metzger says he thinks there needs to be more elected officials who represent a broader base.
The lack of respect for the American people, the working man, distresses me way beyond distress. It disgusts me. The average person does not feel they are represented in the House of Representatives.
As a registered Republican and Tea Party member, Metzger says he believes in smaller government. On economic issues, he's against new tax hikes, but would like to cut spending for Planned Parenthood and foreign aid. He also supports the Keystone XL pipeline, which President Obama has tried to delay.
I would like to see our own energy resources developed to the max. Right now, everything's on hold. There are 10,000 jobs that will open, and union jobs, too, as soon as Obama okays the pipeline.
Metzger and Fersing have about 3 months to garner support for the March 20th primary. Tim Johnson's spokesman Phil Bloomer says the presence of these two candidates from an area where the congressman isn't well known poses a challenge in the race. But he says it's different from the challenge Johnson faced in his last contested primary in 2000. Back then, there were more prominent names on the ballot, and no one had the advantage of being an incumbent.
This is a little different sort of situation because I frankly don't know these guys, and they don't have any public policy experience. They're just individuals who are angry and frustrated with the status quo.
Bloomer says Johnson is already campaigning in the Metro East area and has no plans to change his strategy. I'm Sean Powers, Illinois Public Media.
The candidates running in the Democratic primary for the 13th Congressional District are Bloomington physician David Gill and Greene County State's Attorney Matt Getten. Seven of the best days to buy a new car are in December. The year is almost over, and there is a last-minute push for big car sales. NPR's Sonari Glinton explains.
If you watched any TV this holiday season, you've probably come across this commercial.
It's the most wonderful sale of the year.
That's typical around the end of the year, is to get those kinds of last-minute pushes for the last big sale of the year.
Aaron Bragman is an analyst with IHS Automotive.
Well, it's generally a good time for deals because a lot of people are already in a buying mood, and so automakers will come out with that added extra incentive to try and get people to shop not only for maybe Christmas presents, but also for potentially a new car as well.
Bragman says the end of the month is usually a good time to buy a car because dealers have to pay taxes on their inventory, and they have to pay extra money to the car companies for those cars that stay on the lots.
The real reason is to try and get rid of inventory of the previous year. Nobody wants to try and buy a 2011 model year car in 2012. It's already considered last year's model.
Bragman says once the clock strikes 12, those new cars become last year's models, which is good for shoppers, not so good for dealers. Sonari Glinton, NPR News.
When Oprah Winfrey ended her longtime show on broadcast TV earlier this year, there were lots of tears and tributes to the queen of daytime talk. After the final broadcast, she shifted her focus to own the Oprah Winfrey Network. The channel marks its first anniversary Sunday. Ratings have been a major disappointment for the network, but that could change now that Winfrey is about to debut her own show on the cable channel. NPR's Elizabeth Blair has more.
OWN is a joint venture between Oprah Winfrey's Harpo Productions and Discovery. It's a 24-hour mixed bag.
We're going to make Mongolian beef.
Maybe for the first time, the pain of these wounded warriors.
We've been trying to open a third Sweetie Pie location for 2 years.
And for that reason, I am going to help you rebuild your school. I'm donating $1.5 million.
OWN took over the space that belonged to Discovery Health, a channel that struggled to find an audience. And most everyone thought Oprah's network would easily outdo it.
And that simply hasn't happened.
Larry Gerbrandt is an analyst with Media Valuation Partners.
With the Oprah brand name, with all the work they did leading into the launch of the network, the hope and expectation was that they would be on a much faster track than usual.
It was a rough first year. OWN's ratings quickly nosedived after its launch. In May, the CEO was shown the door. Oprah herself said it might have been better to wait until after ending her daytime broadcast show before launching the channel. In July, she named herself CEO. But even a new show with Rosie O'Donnell hasn't pumped up the ratings.
I know what you're thinking. Rosie, you're wearing a poncho again.
It's hardly scientific, but I went to a place that attracts Oprah's core audience, women, and where the TV is on all the time. Patsy's Nail Bar in Washington, D.C., where Oprah's daytime talk show has been replaced by Ellen DeGeneres. As her nails are being done, Diane Montas says OWN lacks consistency.
Yeah, I watched a couple of things. Not as often because it's like all over the place. And it's not as focused as her own show.
Oprah Winfrey has been candid about the problems. She did a live web chat with Facebook CEO Sheryl Sandberg. She admitted that running a network is nothing like doing your own show.
It's very different choosing other shows and trying to feel, will this work, will that not work? So it's, I would say, a lot harder than I ever imagined. If anybody asks you if you want a network, think about that.
So what's the problem? Larry Gerbrandt says cable is such a different animal than broadcast. So for starters, people can't find OWN, and they don't yet have a signature show.
Something that you can say, ah, yes, I know that one is on OWN. And it, without that, you have nothing to build around.
Now, it's fair to say that anything Oprah Winfrey does gets extra scrutiny. She is, after all, one of the most influential women in the world. But even for her, it may take years before this cable channel is a success, says Eric Logan, president of OWN.
This is a very long journey. And I think if you look at any successful cable network, it's taken years for them to find their programming rhythm. It's taken years for them to establish themselves. You know, and Oprah's the first to say, you know, we're still learning.
And as for that signature show that OWN needs, it could be the one that debuts this weekend, starring the CEO herself. It's called Oprah's Next Chapter. Elizabeth Blair, NPR News.
Many people use the month of December to make annual contributions to charities and nonprofits. If you're among them, consider the value you receive from WILL. Consider how WILL helps you stay informed and keeps you entertained. Then, please consider making a tax-deductible contribution before December 31st. Make your gift online at our secure website, willpledge.org. And thanks.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Friday. It's the 30th of December, 2011. It's the birthday of the Canadian novelist Douglas Copeland, born 1961 on a Canadian Air Force base in Baden-Sulingen, West Germany, whose first novel was Generation X, Tales for an Accelerated Culture. Most recent novel is Player One, What is to Become of